Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless. This morning, I'm going to ask a question and challenge you to get into the boat. And the disciples were looking to get into the palace. So what you may know or not know about the Bible, that when Jesus came and he was the Messiah, they had no understanding, and they were not looking for a Savior to go to the cross. They were looking for a great leader as David, a great military leader, to restore the kingdom of Israel so that they would be in power and they would rule the land. We see in the Gospels that Peter and John talk about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the prime minister. And so when they began to see the miracles that Jesus was doing, they were getting excited. They were getting psyched. They were getting pumped up because they were looking at Jesus. They were thinking he is greater than Rambo. Like, he can defeat all these people with his voice. It's not a problem if he can multiply. And last week we saw that 20,000 people ate from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they saw the tremendous power of God. And so they were thinking the palace. And Jesus said, get into the boat. Now, he said that in Mark chapter 6. He told them to get into the boat. They wanted the palace. Jesus says, get in the boat. Now, what I mean by getting in the boat is this: it means to follow God, to know God, and to do his will. Instead of using God to do what we want him to do. This concept of a perpetual bread maker seemed very nice. For somebody to continually give me bread without having to work for it, without having to even do anything, they just showed up every day. It'd be like somebody showing up at your house every day and just bringing you groceries. Sounded good. And that's what they were understanding that God was going to do for them. And so when Jesus started changing things, okay, they didn't quite get it. Now, notice what happened. Immediately after the crowds were fed, notice what it says. Then those men, when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, bowed down before him as the Messiah. It doesn't say that, does it? Notice what it says. When they had seen the signs, they said, this truly is the prophet who has come into the world. Now, here's the rub today, because our culture, society, is not devoid of God talk. Many of you have grown up in church. Many of you understand God as a word. But often the concept of God is what we make up in our own mind. Not from theology, not from deep study of the scripture, not from personal experience of walking with God. They said the prophet, but what did they understand? Notice it said, we get the indication. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come, and notice what it said, take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself. alone. The disciples liked the idea. The disciples had already picked out their office in the palace. They were ready for the easy life, for the life of power and prestige and dominance. And they thought and understood that this Jesus was going to help give them everything they wanted. So the crowds, these men, it doesn't say who these men were, but they were going to come and they were going to force Jesus to become king. Now, let me say something. You're not going to force God to do anything. We are forcing a conception of God that is foreign to the scripture today. When a presidential candidate could say, "I'm a Christian, don't judge me," when he lives a life that is contrary to clearly what the Bible says, he's forcing God in his own image. God is God. You don't make God king. He is king. He already is king. He's king right now. We don't make him king. No, he's not. We're not voting on Jesus. No election with Jesus. There's no law you're going to give. Are we going to let Jesus be okay now? The Bible says this in Isaiah, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. He is God." Whether you recognize him as God or not, he is God. He is King. He will rule and reign for eternity. It does not matter what Facebook says. It does not matter if Facebook bans Jesus, because that's probably coming next. China's wiping out churches by the hundreds now. And as much as they try to destroy the church in China, the church keeps growing. Why? Because Jesus is king. He is king. They're not going to force him. Here's the thing. We're not going to force Jesus to be the God you want him to be. He is the God he is. Do you either, like the kids say, like it or lump it? Like, that's it. That's God. I don't know what else to say. God is God. It's not for debate. It's not for poll. God is God. And when they came to force Jesus to be king, he wasn't having any part of it. He said to Israel in Jeremiah, "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you." We come to God on his terms. This redefining of theology, of Christianity, of 2,000 years of Christian doctrine, you can redefine it all you want. And you can post it all you want, and you can Instagram it all you want, and you can promote it all you want, you can legislate it all you want. He's still king. He's still king. And he's not having part of any man-made understandings of who he is. So I ask you the question. This morning, I asked all of us a question because I think this is a question that we continually have to ask and work on and understand. But how have you arrived at your understanding of God? Where do you take your beliefs about God? Now, if I said I was a medical doctor, you came to my office, and you're like, "This doesn't look like a medical. Do you have a license?" "I don't need one." "Where'd you go to school?" "Oh, I got this on Google. I went to Google Images and printed it out." They had a template. You just fill in your name. It gave me a medical degree. Probably not going to stay. But that's how we treat theology. Without it, without even reading the Bible, without even opening the New Testament and making a serious inquiry, we base our concepts of God on tradition, what others say, society, social media. And then we act like great theologians. And we condemn people that have studied the Bible for years and have been holding doctrines that we've had for thousands of years. So a question I ask for myself, because I believe our understanding of God should grow, it should deepen. But what is the source of our understanding of God? We believe it's from the Scriptures. God is revealed in the Scriptures. And Jesus has taken these disciples and he is not bringing them to the palace. He's saying, get in the boat. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. Like I said, Mark, Jesus had told them, get in the boat and go across the sea. And it says, verse 17, they got in the boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. It was already dark. And Jesus had not come to them. So he didn't take them to the palace. He took them to the boat, said, get in the boat, and he left them alone. And the question is, why did Jesus leave them alone? He knew the storm was coming. He knew they were going to get in the boat. He knew they were wondering, Jesus, why didn't you take this opportunity? And I've already put a deposit on my office and I want to be able to pay the rent next month. And they're standing around and Jesus is not there. Where is Jesus? I think he left them alone because there were lessons they needed to learn. They needed to learn some lessons. They needed to understand that Jesus was giving them some principles so they would know how to live their lives and they would know how to react. You see, the God of the bread, if I can say it that way, knowing Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus is going to do everything for you. He's given you a brain. Some of you. Okay, he's given you abilities. He's given you his word. We're his children. Okay, do you tie the shoes of your 18-year-old? Your 20-year-old? I hope not. If you do, we need to have a discussion. Okay? You do of your 1.5-year-old, right? And then you teach them. We teach them to tie their shoes. And they tie their own shoes. Then you teach them to do well. And you teach them to do things so they can do for themselves. The purpose of Jesus' ministry with the disciples was to show them and instruct them so they could become big boys and do it, live by faith when Jesus was gone. But you don't learn those lessons in the palace, do you? You learn those lessons in the boat. You learn those lessons in real life. So it wasn't that Jesus forsook them, okay? And in our lives, Jesus never forsakes you, but Jesus wants you to learn how to walk with him in difficult times so he doesn't keep the difficult times away from us. Let's goes on. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So things started to get difficult. The wind was blowing. The waves were coming up. And there were some problems. Now, if you go out to sea, you have to expect the storm. You never know when the storm is going to come up on the sea. It could come up right away. It could not come up. But there's many stories of people that have been on the sea, and all of a sudden, the waves came, the wind started blowing, and they were difficult situations. The goal for Jesus was not to give us an endless supply of bread, but to teach us how to go through the storms. Do I understand everything God does? We can't. How could we? Good verse to memorize, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 and 34. If you never read this verse, it's a good verse to memorize. Notice what it says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Maybe instead of complaining what God has not revealed to us, maybe we should be thankful for what God has revealed to us. God has chose to communicate to us in our language so we can understand. That's why Jesus took on the form of a man, and we saw him and beheld him. We complain too much of what God hasn't told us. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? So, are we? I definitely do not feel wise enough to instruct God. I don't feel wise enough often to instruct you. There is always that, did I study enough? Have I read enough? I am not an expert. We cannot instruct God. We are very bold today to raise our fist and say, why God? I can't give an answer why a specific situation. I know God is sovereign. God has a reason. God has allowed certain things. But there is always a purpose and there is always a plan. And oftentimes, he is gracious enough to reveal it to us even in this life. So they're in the sea, the wind comes up. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, didn't have any motorboats back then, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat. And they were afraid. So that's a question. Why were they afraid? Probably because they'd never seen anybody walking on the water. And they watched too many horror movies growing up. Maybe they were startled because they were so engrossed in their own problem. And oftentimes, we are so engrossed in our own suffering, we don't see what God is doing. Maybe they weren't looking for him. Maybe they felt shame because they were failing to right the boat. And sometimes we feel like, I'm not good enough. I've failed so many times. God's not going to accept me. God is there every time you're looking for him. You don't have to be ashamed ever to come to God. That's why Jesus died. He died for your shame. He died for your guilt. He died for your sins. You never have to be ashamed to come to God. They were experienced fishermen, and they probably said, well, we shouldn't be afraid. When we get into the boat, we learn something about ourselves. I'm sure years later, the disciples are around, and Peter's saying, I wasn't really afraid. I know you, Andrew, and John, I know you guys were afraid, but I wasn't really afraid. Like, we don't want to admit that, right? How many times have you lied because you were ashamed and you didn't want to look bad? Your reputation. But when you go in the boat and God brings you in the storm, you learn something about yourself. All of you that are married understand this. You blame it on your spouse, but what really happens is you learn something about yourself. And so trials, they kind of make you vulnerable. They kind of show you what's lacking. And you see yourself. And sometimes we don't like that. And I'm sure they did not want to admit to their failings as they're on the sea. And they look up and they see Jesus. And they're afraid. Sometimes fear can be a good thing. Can steer us to God. It can steer us to God. There are times God has given us that like alarm system. Of fear. It's not wrong. There are times we fear. We need to fear. We need to fear God. But it wakes us up to realities in our lives. And so they feared. Was it? They weren't looking. And so as he's going by, he says to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Now think about this. If they had never been in the boat, they never would have seen Jesus walking on the water. There are things that you will learn about God that you will only learn in the boat, you'll never learn in the palace. There are realities and truths about the person and character of God that you only learn in the difficult situations that we face day by day. That's where we learn about God. And they saw him walking on the water, and his words to them were not, "You stupid, idiot fishermen, why are you afraid?" His words to them were, "I'm here. Problem solved. I'm here. Don't have to fear. Don't have to fear because I've come." And so the end game, you know what the end game really is for our lives? It's to know Jesus. Notice it says, then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. So immediately, as soon as he got in the boat, everything was taken care of. The end game is to live in the presence of God. When Moses was going to take the children of Israel into the promised land, the one thing he requested was not a bigger army, was not more money. The one thing he requested, you go with me, his presence. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Paul said, during his ministry, he did not want to plant more churches. He did not want to be delivered from prison. He said that I might know him. So do you understand what heaven is? Heaven is living in the presence of God. We're going to be in the presence of God. The goal, the end game, if you will, of our lives is to walk and live in the presence of God. It's not to follow God for our own purposes. It's not for God to give us more bread. It's not to follow Jesus because he's really cool. It's to follow God because, first of all, he is God. Second of all, without his presence, we're nothing. We need him. And his goal, as he taught these disciples, were to know and understand Jesus. Not just to get more bread. Not, God, you do this to me. God, you didn't do this for me, so I'm upset with you. That's the God of the bread, not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God that created you, knows you, loves you, cares for you, died for you, and wants you to know him, and understands that you'll know him not in the palace, you'll know him and get to know him in the boat. So the challenge for us, the challenge for me, the challenge for you, and this is where this is the rub. This is the rub, because our nature, God, just give us. That's our nature. God wants, he doesn't want to just go give us. He wants to know us. He wants you to know him and the power of his resurrection. So your call today is to get into the boat. Now that may be being saved. Maybe you know that you need to be saved. Maybe you've heard the gospel 100 times. But the Bible says, unless you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll not be saved. He said, he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you believe Jesus died for you. Maybe you believe he rose again. Maybe you come to church and you like the church, but if you died today, do you know you'd be in heaven? Do you know you'd be in his presence? We read that verse in Jeremiah. We need to repent of our sins. Ask God to forgive us and put our trust and faith in Jesus to save us. Maybe getting in the boat for you, maybe God's been speaking to you about giving. Maybe God's spoken to you. I know God wants me to start giving you. I don't have the faith. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need to start reading the Bible. But you're not going to know God just staying in the crowd and watching what happens. He wants you to get in the boat. He wants you to know him. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that you're there. We don't have to fear. Though the storms around us are there, you're there, Jesus. You're with us. You know us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe God's spoken to you this morning. He wants you to trust him. I can think, just say one more thing quickly. When we went to Romania in 94, medicine was a concern. I can remember we loaded up with antibiotics and all those things and doctors and all that. It was rough after the fall of communism. We were in Romania about maybe 3 months. And we met a Canadian. About an hour from us, there are 5 nuclear reactors that Ceausescu built. 2 of them are functioning today, but there were Canadian, Italian companies. They were there trying to get one of the reactors up and running. And there was about 100, 150, 200 Canadians. They had a whole complex for them. And we got hooked up with this Canadian doctor. And we would go, and he gave us like an hour and a half talking, free medicine, even made visits one time when Emily had bronchitis. And I say that to say, you'll never experience God unless you get into the boat. Unless you take that step by faith. Maybe for you it's teaching a class. Maybe it's inviting your neighbor. I don't know what it is. For me, it was going to Romania. But when you step in the boat and the storm's going and Jesus comes and says, don't fear. I'm here. Then you'll know God. Then you'll know who God is. Let's sing, If God Spoke Into Your Heart, You Come This Morning.